What a great day to be in God's house. Great morning so far, huh? Well, I'm going to jump right into it. Last week we examined the principle about complaining hinders training. If you weren't here, you definitely want to get that podcast and look at it, because complaining hinders training. God is in the process of training us, and there's nothing, if any of you guys that have had kids, you know that complaining always hinders what you're trying to do, and we're all big kids too, so it hinders us too. But today I want to share with you guys the most difficult scripture in the Bible. If you guys can master this scripture, your walk will be radically different, and it's really almost impossible to walk this particular scripture out. Now let me just jump in and tell you what it is. It's Matthew 6:24. And Jesus says this, "I tell you not to worry about your everyday life." We can stop right there. We can pray and then leave. Because right there is the most difficult thing you and I will ever deal with, is our day-to-day life. He goes on to say this, "Don't worry about your everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? So isn't there more to us than the outside?" If you want to look at, think of that, think of a car. Shiny. You can spend all your time shining the outside of the car, but it's under the hood that makes everything work. That is the most important part. And he says, you're way more important than the outside stuff that we chase after continually to make us okay on the inside. He says, so don't worry in verse 31. He says, don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God. Make that a first priority in your life. Above all else, and live righteously. Do what you know to do today. And he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Take today's trouble is enough for today. Man, if we could learn those scriptures enough to where they sink deep enough, and that's how we face life, our lives would be 1,000 times easier. If I could live today handling today's trouble well. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So what is the command? Handle it well. Handle today's trouble. Now we have a great example of this as we continue our study in the book of Exodus from 20,000 feet. So we're basically looking outside the window of an airplane, looking down on the Exodus, watching this thing unfold, and we have that vantage point of thousands of years into the future. So today we sit thousands of years into the future, looking back on their journey to learn from their experience and their own obedience how to live. You know, people are always teaching us. Some people are great examples of what not to do, and other people are great examples of what to do. And we ourselves are an example to ourselves of the pluses and minuses. So we're always learning. So as Chris prayed today about deliverance, deliverance is a God thing. You don't have to do anything. You might have pleaded to God at some point in life to deliver you from something, or you may be pleading today that God will deliver you from something. That's not the same thing as walking with God. So, in the case of the Israelites, these people had spent 430 years as slaves to the Egyptians. God, through a process, delivered them. And now he begins the training on how to live exactly what Jesus says in 6:24. One day at a time in obedience. One day at a time in obedience is better than anything you can accomplish in any area of life. So as we continue here, we need to realize that these guys have a backstory. Everybody in this room has a backstory, has their history. So the Israelites grew up generation after generation after generation in bondage to the Egyptians. The Egyptian world, Egypt itself, was considered the breadbasket of the world at that point in time. You can go all the way back to Genesis when a guy named Joseph, who was in prison, was dealing and had interpreted some dreams, and the Pharaoh at that time had a dream about cows, fat cows and thin cows, and he couldn't make heads or tail out of it. So they brought Joseph in, and he told them, hey, there is going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. You need to build granaries. You need to prepare for this famine. You need to do these things. And he listed out some things for them to do to provide during this time. Well, Pharaoh did it. Joseph got elevated. He was given great land, and the people of Israel flourished for a while. But that scenario set Egypt up to be the breadbasket of the known world at that time. 430 years later, the Israelites saw that. Not only were they the breadbasket, but they had the Nile River running through. And yearly, that river would flood and cover the plains all around it, making the soil rich and fertile. So Egypt was able to produce much farmland, much produce. Not only that, they had a great amount of livestock who had drinking water. There were tributaries and little ponds off the Nile River and little creeks that would flow. Water was abundant in Egypt. Not only that, the Nile River flowed through Egypt and into other lands. Tremendous amount of trading took place on the Nile River. Egypt had it going on economically. And as I shared with you a minute ago, they were the breadbasket. That is what the Israelites came out of. Even though they were slaves, they were in the land of plenty. They just didn't have it. So God comes along and delivers them. And he takes them into the desert. After the Red Sea, the end of Egypt's reign was done. And so the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, and then they started going to nomad wilderness land. How many know that when you start walking with God, it often gets darker before it gets light? There is something that takes place. So these guys don't know what it's like. And so God leads them into the place of want, because he wants to teach them how to walk with him daily, just like Jesus said. So we get that example. So that's the backdrop. That's the story of where they came from and now where they're going. So let's pick it up in Exodus 15, 22. Then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea, and they moved into the desert of Shur. They traveled in this desert for 3 days without finding water. Remember, the cloud is leading them. God is with them, and he leads them away from water, a basic necessity. They get 3 days away. They have all this livestock with them. They have about 2 million people, and there's no water. What do? They complain. They panic. And it says this. They arrived there on the... They traveled the desert 3 days without finding any water. When they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink. So they called the place Marah, which means bitter. Then the people complained and turned against Moses. What are we going to drink? They demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water good to drink. It was there at Marah that the Lord set before them the following decree as a standard to test their faithfulness to him. So he says, I've led them, Mo, over to this place because I am setting as a baseline for them to test them to have faith in me. I intentionally led them to this place. He said, and this is what the lesson is. If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. He goes, my goal is to heal you, but you have a part to play, and that's to obey what I say. He did it very gently. These people are a month into their freedom. They're babes. And so basic necessities are messing with their heads. Now, I tell people sometimes, they go, Joe, you know what? I never experienced God. I just don't feel him. You ate today, right? You drank today, right? You had something to drink? Yeah, God's working on your behalf. So he tells them this. You see, remember, gang, what happened to the Egyptians. I asked Pharaoh one simple thing. Let my people go for 3 days that they could go out into the desert and worship me. I gave Pharaoh a simple command. He rejected it. I kept going back to him. And every time I went back, that bread basket, I took a little bit of the bread out. I took a little bit of the bread out. I kept taking bread out in a step by 10 plague step to where the bread basket of the world became completely empty. He says, you guys, you Israelites, are completely empty. You have nothing. If you obey me, I will add bread every step of the way. I will prosper you as you obey my commands. And you will be the head, not the tail. You will be the giver, not the beggar. I will take care of you. So remember that. This is standard practice. I'm doing this. I intentionally led them away from water to show them where the water comes from. And that if I lead you somewhere, there's a plan in it. There's a training involved. And as we talked a lot about last week, complaining hinders the training. So Moses is given this information. They are given water. God is gracious to them. Then in chapter 16, what did Jesus say? Don't worry about water, what you drink, what you'll eat. He's already in their initial walk with him, teaching them about water. Now he's going to teach them about eating, that all of that comes from God. Verse 16, chapter 1. Then the whole community of Israel set out from Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin. They're going deeper into the wilderness. They had stayed a couple of weeks by the oasis, and now the cloud is moving them to another place. It says, they arrived there on the 15th day of the second month, 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt. So they're 30 days into their freedom. Yeah, sobriety, that's weird. You guys wouldn't get it, but there are people out there. There too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt. They moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted, all the varieties of bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into the wilderness to starve us all to death. I'm not going to go over everything we talked about last week, but a couple things. Complaining always exaggerates the past. It was so good when we were slaves in Egypt. Anybody ever heard about romancing the past? Romancing our stuff. We tend to make it way better and bigger and awesomer than it was. I went fishing. I remember when I went fishing and I caught a fish about yay big. You know, that whole mentality. And complaining also takes us to blaming people. Because the problem was they were really blaming God. But it's easier to blame people. It makes us look a little bit better. So God, in his response to them, is very gentle. These are young children in walking with God. They're 30 days into their journey. So there, everything trips them out. Now, later on in Exodus, he will deal more harshly because they've been with him for 40 years. God expects more when you walk longer with him than when you just start the journey. But the standard never changes. Walk with him today. Hopefully, if you've been walking with God for a chunk of time, you're more comfortable in realizing that all I got to do is do what's right today. All I got to do. Every time we do that, we add prosperity to our lives. And we add plus to our lives, whether it's emotional, spiritual, relational, all that stuff gets added. Every time we disobey, we take a little bit out. We take a little bit out. God's desire is to bless us richly, but he also understands us as individuals and where we're at. So then it tells us, what's the Lord's response to this? Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. I'm going to show them I take care of them. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. He said, my base standard with the water is whether they will trust me. He says, I told them they need to trust me. I brought them water. I made it good for them. Now I'm going to test them to see if they will follow my simple instruction. What was the instruction? Gather up enough food for today. I will provide it. You gather for today. He says, now on the sixth day, they will gather food. And when they prepare it, there will be twice as much as usual. He goes, now they are to gather it until they get to the day before Sabbath or on Sabbath. They will gather twice as much food. He doesn't tell them why yet. Why? Because that's the way God is with us oftentimes. He'll give us something to do in an individual basis, but not give us the full explanation. They don't know that they're going to get a Sabbath rest. These were slaves. They never got a day off. They never understood that principle that God actually wants his people to rest and enjoy life too. So he says, and then they are to gather twice as much on this one day of the week. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, by evening, you will realize it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You're going to get it in a new way. They already knew he brought them out. They had seen the 10 plagues. They had gone through all that stuff. But something about it didn't sink into them. In the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord because he has heard your complaints, which are against him, not against us, Moses said. Added, the Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and bread to satisfy you in the morning, for he has heard all your complaints against him. What have we done? Yes, your complaints are against the Lord, not against us. So then Moses and Aaron said this, announce this to the entire community of Israel, everyone that's out there, these 2 million people or so. Present yourselves before the Lord, for he has heard your complaining. And as Aaron spoke to the whole community of Israel, they looked out toward the wilderness. There they could see the awesome glory of the Lord in the cloud. Now remember, 2 million people, some of them are going to be way, they're spread out. They are spread out. That's a lot of place. So they looked to where the cloud was. The cloud has been with them the whole time. But God was going to do something different in the cloud that day. He was going to show his glory. He was going to advertise him in a way that they had never seen before. Glory always has the idea of overwhelming light and powerful presence. An overwhelming, like a blanket of presence over you. So that God was showing them something they had never seen before. You know, when you walk with God, there will be those times when God shows you himself in a way you've never seen him before. You've never experienced him before. They had known about the God who delivered them. They had been following the cloud. They followed it for 3 days to their credit. And they followed it out there. But in this particular time, they saw God differently. Well, how did they see him? What was one of the things they saw? They saw that he was the God with them in adversity. They were complaining as if God didn't see their situation. The God who had led them to be hungry, and by the way, none of them were starving. We're talking a couple days. As I shared last week, a lot of us get that. I'll go over to the refrigerator and open it, and it's full. Nothing to eat in here. They weren't in any way, shape, or form in super trouble. They could have killed the animals. They could have done a lot of things. So God was showing them, I'm going to take care of you, and I am with you in adversity. I don't ditch you when the trouble gets rough. I don't ditch you when it's hard and come back when it's great. So that evening, after they saw that in the morning, they waited all day. That evening, something happens. Then the Lord said to Moses, verse 11, now tell them, in the evening you will have meat to eat, and in the morning you will have all the bread you want. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. You will know. So that evening, vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp. And the next morning, the area around the camp was wet with dew. When the dew evaporated, a flaky substance as fine as frost blanketed the ground. The Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. They said, what is it? What is it is another name for manna. They asked each other. They had no idea what it was. And Moses told them, it is the food the Lord has given you to eat. These are the Lord's instructions. Each household should gather as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent. So the people of Israel did as they were told. Some gathered a lot, some only took a little. But when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it asked. Then Moses told them, do not keep any of it until morning. The manna and the quail were miraculously provided. He told them, don't hoard. What we're trying to teach you here, Moses said, is that God will give you enough each day to handle each day. So he gives them that. And verse 20 is like many of us, but some of them didn't listen and kept some of it till morning. But by then it was full of maggots and had a terrible smell. Moses was very angry with them. That was awesome the way God did that. See, if you hoarded some and you kept it, it stunk. So everybody walking by, hoard. That stuff is nasty. There was, you know, sometimes God will deal with our disobedience silently between us and him. And sometimes he shouts it. Sometimes I know in my life, especially before the Lord, I had set up things really well so I would never get in trouble. And then boom, the cops come. How did they come? I don't know. They just came. And I have lied in my walk with Jesus. I know you guys never have, but I did. And I got caught in it. So I had to lie again. And then, you know, I got all weird. And sometimes God lets you for a season go, for a season. And then sometimes not, because he wants the lesson to be learned. These guys couldn't take more than a day's worth without it falling apart on them, without it turning away. So God, what's he dealing with? If you can't trust me on your daily stuff, I will take from what you hoard out of your basket. You thought you were adding more to the basket. You thought the basket of your bread was going to be fuller now that you got more, that you got your weight. No. You'll lose. You'll take it out. So he's teaching them, young believers. And Moses was angry with them for disobeying. In verse 21, it says, after this, the people gathered food morning by morning, each family according to its needs. So they're marching through the week. They haven't got to the Sabbath part yet of taking two. And as the sun became hot, the flakes they had picked up melted and disappeared. Get the picture. So much manna was out there that every family, and that's another thing, every family is responsible for itself. They would gather what they needed for that day out of the abundance. They were learning to leave the rest. They're okay. God's going to provide it every day.